Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Design Your Life, Coaching for New Choices, with your host, Master Certified Coach Patricia Hirsch. Patricia has over 30 years of experience working with corporations, teams, and individuals. Her work is grounded in the fact that who you are being determines the results you get. You will explore with her and reveal to yourself what no longer works for you. She'll invite you to shift into new ways of being to move forward towards your dreams. Now, here is Patricia Hirsch.
Welcome to the show, Design Your Life, Coaching for New Choices. And today is the 30th of October, 2012. And I have to say, I have to bring our attention to what's happening on the East Coast of the United States today and yesterday and over the next many days, I'm sure. But Hurricane Sandy has hit the East Coast pretty hard and mixed with the northeastern winter storms, and there is a huge need for help. So now there's different ways. One of the ways, or there's many different ways, but I am going to suggest that if you haven't already, pull out your card, pull out your checkbook, whatever it takes, and open up this link, www.redcross.org. Redcross.org, the American Red Cross, actually puts the money where you want it to be put. So you can donate overall, and even if, say, you donate $5, say 100 people donate $5, that's $500. You can donate any amount you want, but please donate. Another way to donate is to give blood. In this time of need, people are going to get hurt, and it's not initially the impact, although the impact was quite strong, but it's afterwards. People are without water, they're without health care. Say someone has had to evacuate from their medications have been left behind. A hospital had to be evacuated. People's electricity are out. So I cannot say enough. And I happen to recommend the Red Cross. My mother was in the American Red Cross during World War II, where she went to Africa and helped out with our troops. Matter of fact, fabulous story. Who knows? You may be able to volunteer your time somewhere with the American Red Cross. My mother met my father when she was stationed in Africa with the American Red Cross during the war. Okay, let me give you. Romance happens, and it doesn't matter where. There's no way. You don't have to sit in a bar. Get out there and donate your time. Donate your funds. Donate your blood. Your blood regenerates yourself, so no problem there. But anything you can give, www.redcross.org. And our thoughts here throughout the rest of the country go out to each and every single one of you that are frightened, that are wondering what's going to happen next, that are unable to go home, unable to get out of your home. You may not be listening now, but you may listen in the future. Our thoughts, our prayer, intentions for things to settle down and get back to as close of normal as you knew before. Who knows? You may discover something new about yourself in this disaster. It is a disaster. Please get out there and donate. Thank you very much. Okay, today is our radio show, of course, and I am interviewing Michelle Kubis. She's an accredited certified coach with a excuse me, let me give that to you again. She's an accredited certified coach with the ICF and also CPCC designation, and Michelle will be able to explain that. If you haven't seen her information, I'm going to give you the website for you to go out and find exactly where she is and read up on her bio, etc. That web is my name. Oh, my name is Patricia Hirsch. I am the host of the show, obviously. Okay, Michelle's information, go ahead and put in www.patricia.com, and she's on our splash screen because she is the guest of the week. And if you go to the, if you look on the right side of the page and you go to interviews, you can click on Michelle's name, and that'll bring up the show description today, her bio, and all her contact information. So if you find something very interesting in today's show, go ahead and go out there and get her contact information on her personal radio show page. But a little bit about Michelle. She's formally trained and certified as an enterprise business coach, behavior analyst, business blogger, author, and dynamic entrepreneur. She offers award-winning brand marketing, public relations, and corporate communication implications. Let me get that to you again. I have family back east, so let me take a breath and get present, and here we go. So Michelle offers award-winning brand marketing, public relations, and corporate communications implementation strategies. You can tell why I fumbled a little bit there. That was a mouthful. Founded on 2 decades of experience, she consults with fledgling and international corporations, inspires business leaders to manage by values-driven principles, and supports individuals seeking life and career fulfillment. So the topic of our show today is Influence is Bliss, Behavior Leadership Insights, Strategic Service. So, Michelle, I know you're in Arizona, so you're safe and sound, but how are you this morning?
Oh, this is a great opportunity. And again, I ditto what you said. My daughter actually is on Cape Cod and had to go to a shelter last night, so this is very close to home for me as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the invitation, Patricia. Very generous of you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. So let's both, you know, have our hearts back to ease and yet reserve a little bit for this radio show. I love the title of your show. I mean, most of the time people say, of course, ignorance is bliss, but you've got a new twist. Influence is bliss. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, that was, thank you for picking up on that. That was deliberate. And I'm glad that you picked up the nuance. The power of influence is something that people do not focus on, and it's a power that each individual holds. And it's something that we often will give away. And it is really a trump card to not only organizational success as a leader, it is fabulous for family dynamics. It works in your local, spiritual center, whatever that may be. But the influence is an invisible power, so people do not understand the value. And they're always, you know, working on the hard edge skills. This is an ephemeral power that people can actually feel. So this is why I really use this a lot in my coaching, is helping people find their influence spot.
And what would be the process? I mean, you said it's helping people find their influence. How do you do something like that?
Well, it sounds a little strange, and I do appreciate that. That it's, first of all, there is an awareness and an agreement with yourself that you have this power of influence. Some people are frightened by it. And it's an energy that starts with the simple step. And I have four that I outlined here. One is to move from get to give. If you listen to people's language, oh, what am I going to get out of this? What am I going to, you know, what are they going to get? People focus on the get rather than the give. And when you give first, it's amazing. That's the first step to claiming your influence because you will stand out. That's number one. Number two is how can you assess who needs your help? That could be within your company. You could become a mentor. What is who needs your help in terms of a community project? Is there skill building? One of the things I always get after my husband about is he's a fluent Spanish speaker. And I said, you need to get out there and help people who are using English as a second language. So who needs my help? That would be step two. Step three, what path can I clear for my organization? You can move the word and say, what path can I clear for my family? How do I remove barriers?
Michelle? Yes. I misunderstood. What was number three? Give number three to us again because I didn't hear the second word.
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone may be juggling around here.
That's
all
right.
It's what path can I clear for my organization? What path can I clear so that becomes a focus? So are you making something simple? Are you able to contribute information that will clear a path for someone else in another department? An example would be I used to run my portion of my business, like my own small business, even though I was within my larger corporation. I always made sure my vendors got paid, you know, quickly and managed it as if it was my own personal business. So what happened is these people they loved working with me because there was a trust established. So once I cleared the path for them to get paid quickly, because they were small businesses, they would jump through fire for me. I mean, it was really amazing. So that you have that opportunity to influence there where you can clear a path. And the last one I have is, what can I make more clear? Bill Clinton is one of the best examples of that in this silly season of politics. They talked about him being the secretary of explaining stuff. The fact is, the simpler, the better. So we have move from get to give. Who needs my help? Identifying and assessing that. Taking action, what path can I clear for my organization? And what can I make more clear? Those are the four simple steps that anyone could do as soon as they hang up the phone.
Oh, I love that. Now you work in small businesses and organizations. So we work all, basically business. And so where do you be? I'm going to bring it back to the word bliss.
Okay.
Where do you begin to assess bliss within a company?
The first step, when I actually physically enter, and that could even be on the telephone, believe it or not, because I have clients all over the country and I'm not in every location. My first understanding of them is what is their passion and why did they pick up this mantle? What was it that drew them to what they're doing? And that's something we can harness because that passion becomes bliss. That's how they can work 16 hours a day. I was just at a conference where there were all these medical professionals. These people have crazy hours, but they're there. They show up. They are filled with their talent, with their heart, and they're giving all the time. So the first thing that I assess is I look at the passion. If there's a low level of passion, I will raise that to the person's attention. Because if that isn't there, the rest that must happen will not unfold, because that is a fuel. That is going to influence everyone around them, whether it's to raise money, whether it's to hire appropriate people, and also just their, you know, working with customers. All of that is in play.
And once you've determined what is missing in the company, I'm assuming, how do you begin to, you might see it. How do you transfer that awareness, that power of observation to those in the company that might benefit from what you see?
Well, that's a great question. And I'm very fortunate because I have a very balanced psyche, if you will. I've been told this by many. I have very balanced left-right brain. One of the points of my training is the Malcolm Baldrige quality principles, which is connected to the lean manufacturing, all of that kind of efficiency and so on. Why do I even bring that up? The point is that you do a gap analysis. It can be very simple. It could be a survey of 10 questions that I would determine after meeting with the principals, whether it be one person or a board or a panel of people, that this gap analysis identifies where the starts and stops are. And the thing that I find in the years that I've been a coach, the worst erosion of resources is in the start and stop, where companies will get all jazzed up about something and then they stop. They jump on the next bright, shiny object and then they stop. And that is, it just eats away the precious resources. The gap analysis is my first tool that I introduce, not from a punitive perspective. When I introduce the idea to the owner or to the company leader or the department head, it's to identify where we can insert energy, where we can insert influence, where we can insert strategic thinking, what insights can we gain. That's why I use the Bliss model. Because sometimes, and many times, I'd say 85% of the time, these are behavioral issues that are impedance factors.
Behavior issues. Interesting. Well, first of all, I love that you even notice that a lot of times people get going and they get their wheels moving and they're revving down the path of, yeah, we're going to do this. And then something happens and they lose a little bit of power, and then the way I see it is they lose a little bit of power, and then they lose a little bit of interest, and then they think, oh, that's a bad project anyway. Never once going further, or maybe they see it as an uphill battle where influence may bring forth exactly what's needed.
Yes.
Is that what I hear?
Yes, you heard
it. Go ahead.
Very good. You have very good antennae there. That my objective working with individuals, remember, just working with a business, it's not an entity. I don't go in and talk to the walls. It's always people. There's nothing magical about that, except the people are magical. And once they realize, like Dorothy with her red shoes, she could have gone home any time from Oz. But she didn't have the instructions. She didn't have the manual that she needed to click her heels and get home. And that people relate to that. And that's really what it is often I come in as an objective voice where there's maybe some commotion going on. And it's really an opportunity to clear the air and have people start from a zero, ground zero type thing. And that's really beneficial.
Yes. And now, You also mentioned metrics. So
yep.
Tell me, what do you mean by metrics, and how does it come up frequently?
All right. Metrics are very key. Metrics are also an important tool, especially for people who process information based on data. This is a very important, a yardstick.
Which is a large part, right? It's a large part of
very
it
much
is
so.
Data.
You don't measure it, it doesn't get noticed. And I have a saying that I learned on the road a long time ago: that which gets measured gets done. That which gets done gets rewarded. That which gets rewarded gets repeated. And that hangs on my wall, and that is a driving force. Because as simple as it is, it's powerful. It will wield, it'll give you influence following those three steps. Would you like me to say it again?
That with which gets measured gets done. That
Correct.
Which gets done gets rewarded. That which gets rewarded gets repeated.
Yes. So when we're looking to grow an organization, when we're looking to expound upon the wonderful people we already have there, this is a way to expand their awareness that is part of growing within this organization. And the fact that we have, you know, at least four generations, if not five, lined up side by side, working together, we have to be aware of what we're rewarding in our behavior, because each generation sees reward differently.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And culturally, not just generationally. Mm-hmm. Very important.
So, I mean, I can get it and you can get it, but let's splay it open for a moment here.
Sure.
You said we have to be careful about what's getting rewarded. So let's talk about some place that we haven't used care in being rewarded.
Okay.
What do you
and
mean
I have
by
an
that?
What I mean by that is, this is a true story. I had an opportunity to meet with the CEO of a business. And he shared with me, over a glass of wine, he shared with me the fact that he had taken over this new division, and he literally rode the people into the ground. But the numbers went through the ceiling. The numbers were never so good and so on. But the people were so exhausted and so worn out that the board of directors almost fired him. His numbers were sterling, fabulous. But he didn't stop long enough to assess the impact of what he was doing to the morale of the division. And we can all relate to stuff like that. So the awareness is key. And it's really wrapped up in my big heart of hearts, emotional intelligence. And I don't want to get into a whole long deal on that, but the point is the way what do we have to give people rather than get from them? What do we receive from working in a situation? Why do people turn to us? These are points of where we can start assessing our own emotional intelligence and see where our influence hubs are. Why do people turn to you? For you, Patricia. What are some words that come up when you hear people describe you?
Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart. There you go, Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I'm sure. Now, let me see. Intentional.
There you go.
Oh, gosh, I'm a little bit on the spot now.
Oh, that's fine. I just wanted to use that as a personal example, because oftentimes we don't listen to how people describe us.
Obviously, I'm Obviously not, because I can't think of anything except Pop-Tart and intentional at this point.
Yeah, well, and there it goes. Well, the popping is the instantaneous spontaneity, the all of that kind of thing. Well, for me, I've had several clients call me a synthesizer, which I thought was interesting, that I tend to take the information, you know, mull it through the machine, and then be able to create a whole out of all of the disparate parts. So I listened to that, and I realized that's exactly what I do with people, beside being supportive and, you know, intentional and on purpose and all those things. So the reason that it's important is if we listen to our people, we will start hearing things, and then we can use that to influence a situation, and that builds your credibility. And credibility is influence's partner. If you don't have credibility, how can you influence anyone?
I love that. You are listening to Design Your Life, Coaching for New Choices, where my guest today, Michelle Kubis, is speaking on influence is bliss. Michelle is an enterprise business analyst and coach. She's also accredited by the ICF, the International Coach Federation, as an accredited certified coach, and also a CPCC, and I have a feeling that's through one of the schools that you went
CTI,
to.
CTI, yes.
CTI, yeah, Coach Training Institute. You can find all Michelle's contact information on her radio show page, and you can get to that easily by going to www.patriciahirsch.com. That's PatriciaHirsch.com. And Michelle's last name is spelled Cubas. It sounds a little bit Latin of some sort, Michelle.
Yes, my husband is Cuban. So.
Cuban, I was going to say Cuban.
Yeah,
I
but
really
it has
was.
Nothing to do with Cuba, funnily enough.
I know.
If
but,
I may
you know,
leave, I would love to leave the your listeners, our listeners, with a word. And
well, we're not leaving yet.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to let people know who we're talking to. So we've got some time left. So
oh, good.
I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, if that's all right. And I think
it
is. Okay. So as a coach, you being a coach, especially trained through one of the accredited coach training programs, CTI, what is your style?
My style, I have thought about this for years, and I have come to find, again, listening to my clients, is that my style is being a non-judgmental, active listener with a mirror. So that when I hold up that mirror, after I've received permission from the client to be interruptive and what do you mean by that kind of stuff, we establish a rapport based on trust, and I hold this open, safe space for them. So whether it's a president of a company or whether it's an individual having some family issues, that's between the person and me. Non-disclosure, I give everyone a non-disclosure agreement. They don't have to ask for it.
Yes. And you call clients call you the synthesizer. Explain that one.
Well, what it means is that oftentimes confusion, it really is a blend of many things. So in my ability to listen with a big satellite dish, that I hear different things and raise those different things, even though they're twisted together. In coaching, we have to untweeze these things. That sometimes we associate, I got to make more money, when really what the person is saying, I need security, which is different, which would affect their behavior, for example. if they tend to be a workaholic and they work, it really is related more to security. So then we start looking at other ways, rather than running themselves into the ground, how they might be able to do that. That would be an example.
It sounds as if, I mean, having listened to you now and talking about influences, bliss, the power of influence is what you say is often what we give away. We started the program with that. We often, and so I'm going to recap a little bit and then be able to update from here. So people don't understand, first of all, I think what you said is that they are influential in some manner, and then they're not understanding or recognizing how valuable their ability to influence is.
Yeah.
And then you took us through four steps. And when the first step is moving from getting to giving, I have another term for that too, Michelle. I'm going to plus what you're saying. I love that you have these steps all delineated, but I have another expression that I use. Rather than being interesting, be interested. Now, that's a little bit on the same line, moving from getting to giving. So being interested is giving. Being interesting is trying to get something, whatever that might be.
Right.
And then number two, who is determining who needs your help? You know, and not only who needs your help, but in different ways that maybe you haven't seen before, skills that you have. And you gave the example of someone speaking Spanish and not even recognizing it as a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, you said, what path? And I had misunderstood the word. It's path, P-A-T-H. What path can you clear for your organization? Or I would even say even for someone's personal life, but in your example, you're using it for your organization. What can you do? What can you clear for someone in your organization? And maybe in a few minutes you can explain a little bit more about that one. Are you making something simple is what you had said. And then number four was, what can I make more clear? For instance, you gave the Bill Clinton example. I love that example. I love that they termed him the secretary of explaining things. So did I capture that pretty well? And is
oh,
there
you
anything
did very
you
well. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you want to say about that?
Yes. Referencing I deliberately used the words get to give, because if you listen to people's language, when they talk about getting, it's a clue. It's a clue to their communication style.
Mm-hmm.
And people who tend to be often in a leadership role, or if they are very data-driven, they talk about getting stuff. You'll hear the word get a lot. So you can tune your antenna up to that. Where other people may say, oh, how can I receive something? That would be a different style completely. So these become clues to whom you're speaking, even if you don't know the person. They're language tags. And it changes the energy. The other point, number three, the path. What path can I clear?
Mm-hmm.
How can you become someone else's champion? Rather than you being asking to be championed all the time. Because once you break into another area where you're championing someone else, look at how you've broadened your influence.
Mm-hmm.
And people
Absolutely.
Are always looking for champions.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a political candidate, it could be a mayor of a city. You don't have to go to Washington to get this done. Because nothing gets done much there anyway. But it's being a champion for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's a natural platform and for influence. And really a key point, and I would love to share this with your listeners. The fact is that we start to empathize and really start feeling about our impact. We say these words, and how's that going to land on someone? Did we really want to put them in their place? Was our tone of voice harsh? Or were we really, like you introduced the show, the empathy for the people who are suffering through this incident with the weather? So those are things that affect influence. Your influence meter, if you could see this little needle going up and down and up and down, tone of voice, language we use, how do we reach out to people? Are we always on the receiving end? Or are we out there also able to help the other departments or other people? So I really think that's important. And about listening, Patricia, it's not about hearing, which is the anvil hitting on the eardrum. The listening is very important because you're listening with senses, you're listening to a variety of things called the meta view. But I take it a step further. After hearing and listening, I want to know what's underneath all that. I want to know what's underneath what people are saying. What are they really meaning? Like the financial security example we used. Because you no longer hear money, you hear fear, you hear uncertainty. You see the difference?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm offering my clients when they come to me, because they like the idea they're getting that kind of feedback. Anything else you... I want to offer your listeners, and if we can post it on the site, I have a tool called the Letter of Authority that I'd be happy to share and post and whatever. And what it is a clarifier. When you start a project, whether it's at home or at work, that it encapsulates every moving part and who needs to sign off and by what times and so on. It's like a mini Gantt chart, but it's in plain language. It's called the Letter of Authority, and I'd be more than happy to share it with your listeners. Either post it on my website or give it to you to post on the show site.
Michelle, that's perfect. What I will do is ask my fabulous virtual assistant, who we discussed earlier, Kelly Johnson,
yes,
to post a link to the letter on your website on your radio show page. And once again, Michelle, I'm going to start to wrap up the show, remind people who they're listening to, and then I'll just give you a couple minutes to end the show for yourself. So we're listening once again to Michelle Cubas, C-U-B-A-S. She's an enterprise business analyst and coach. You can very much tell she does a great job. And she's international, but she's based in Peoria, Arizona. And Michelle's information, all her contact information, within the next couple of days, the Letter of Authority, which is a gift that Michelle is giving you, will be posted on her radio show page at www.patriciahirsch.com. Michelle, is there anything else you want to say before we end the show?
Yes, I would love to share one more thought. If I could give a gift, it would be to take the word control and morph it into the word manage. Because we cannot control anything. That if we strive to manage, instead we take off all that pressure from ourselves, especially when someone else thinks it's a bright idea we do something. And it's achievable, and it affects how we interact with people. So if you say the word control, how do you feel? And then if you move it over to, I can manage this, there's a shift. And that's, I think, a critical shift, right? Just what can you do now? That's one. If you take the word control, put it through in a circle with a line through it, and then just add manage to your action vocabulary. And what you say matters. It's what you do matters more. And you don't have to agree with someone to listen to them. most people just want to be heard. It opens the door to collaboration, and it's a very strong negotiation tool. So then we could go on for days. We could do a retreat, Patricia.
I love that. Absolutely. I can completely get that. Michelle, it's been an absolute delight interviewing you today. And my heart, my intentions, my prayers go out to your daughter, anyone you have back on the East Coast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being my guest.
Well, thank you for really sharing your time and energy. Appreciate it.
You are listening to Design Your Life, Coaching for New Choices with your host, Patricia Hirsch. To participate in our program this week, send an email to radio@designyourlifecoaching.com. Now, back to Patricia.
Revel in your wisdom. Support coaching clients to revel in their wisdom. Revel in the wisdom of all ages using 50 spectacular photos, color-coded with the vibration of chakras, based on the Kybalion, Kybalion. Go to wrinklewisdom.com to learn more about tapping into your essence. wrinklewisdom.com.
Hello, welcome back after our little brief interlude. Thank you so much for listening. Wasn't that wonderful? I love listening to all the different coaches' perspectives, and I love hearing what's possible from someone else's view in having our world work, managing rather than trying to control it all, managing all the moving parts, and not to try and get them under control, as Michelle was pointing to, but really to allow them to be going in the direction that they need to be going. I mean, we've all tried to control things that it doesn't work. And in looking at what each one of the coaches brings to the show, there's got to be some spark of life for you, some spark of what's possible and what you're hearing from someone while you're on the show for yourself. I don't know. I would love to hear back from you. If you're listening to the show, please go out to my Facebook page for this radio show, and it's www.facebook.com/designyourlifecoachingradioshow. I might make that a little bit smaller, but it tells us exactly what it is that we're doing here. Designing Your Life Radio Show. Design Your Life Coaching Radio Show once again. But I'm now once again thinking of what's happening back east, and so I'm going to bring it back to, if you missed the first part of the show, please go out to the American Red Cross at www.redcross.org and donate. There's several different ways you can donate. You can donate via online, get your Visa out, whatever, your American Express, however, send a check. It doesn't matter what amount, any little bit helps. You can donate those funds. You can also give blood. Find in your area where they're taking blood. Also, because especially Hurricane Sandy forced the cancellation of about 100 blood drives. So get out there. Get out there and give some blood so we can send it off to those who need it. You can take classes. There's different ways that you can help, but giving to the American Red Cross, you get to choose where your funds go. So it's not just into, okay, you know, some place in Timbuktu that the Red Cross is offering their assistance. But you could say, hey, I wanted to go to Hurricane Sandy. I want to go back. I want to go to Louisiana, wherever. You get to choose. Excuse me. You get to choose. Go out to www.redcross.org and contribute something to assist our fellow Americans in this time of need. Thank you so much for listening. I think I'm going to end the show now and go and check on my family and friends in the East Coast. Okay. Thank you once again. You take care. And I hope to hear you again next, have you back again next week on Design Your Life, Coaching for New Choices.
What did you notice about you in today's conversation? As a new practice, what did you see that will forward you in your dreams? What are you willing to take on as an action between now and next week's show? Please come back and share with us what you've discovered about yourself. Thank you for having joined us today for Design Your Life, Coaching for New Choices with Master Certified Coach Patricia Hirsch. We'll see you again next Tuesday.